After 39 years, the Iranian nation rose up for the first time, and the only opposition that was able to engage the entire country in a challenge after 39 years was the restart opposition of millions. The demise of the Imam turned into departed, blown away. Basically, everything went up in the air. Despite the presence of thousands of law enforcement forces, the event that shouldn't have happened, happened. In my opinion, there is no character left for the regime, meaning there is nothing left to be done. Truly, the entire Iranian militia, you all went up in the air, were destroyed. Where are these soldiers of the Imam of the time? Where are you? Where exactly are you? Welcome to 98. Welcome to the 98th program of Restart. Welcome to the Restart program, the 98th program, and a special thanks to the entire special guard of the Empire of Sufism, which really shook up the country. On the day of Khomeini's demise, a day considered one of the holy days of celebration and stomping for the Islamic Republic regime, fire and shocking revelation changed everything. And these were mostly the special guard, meaning we hadn't even given official instructions to the Restart Army, we just sort of mentioned it in passing. Yet, truly, right in front of the Iranian militia bases, that same event happened again, and the Islamic Republic remains in silence. I told you that day, I said they are extremely afraid. They're only afraid of the restart opposition of millions. If 1,000th of the things we did in the challenge of color and the shocking revelation challenge had been done by anyone else, it would be the headline of world news right now. For example, a six-person demonstration happens in the back alleys of Bolivia, and everyone from the BBC to Voice of America and all the world's news agencies cover it. But the sky of Karaj, the sky of Kerman, the sky of Avaz, the sky of various cities and villages were full of shocking revelations and fires that went up, and yet everyone remained silent. The reason for the silence is fear of the restart opposition of millions. I truly congratulate you. I think the videos you sent me number somewhere above 13 or 14,000. I selected one or two from each city to post, just so you know that, for example, that city was involved, and that city, and that city. And if we want to list the cities that have become restarted, we can say Karaj is entirely restarted. We can say Tehran has many restart followers. So many videos have arrived that, believe me, I haven't even gone past page one or two of Telegram to search the next page. Whenever I came to post a video, I just posted from that same page. Look at how many videos there are. That we can say Shiraz, we can say Avaz, and we can say Qazvin. These five cities held the highest ranks. There were also counties, towns that were perhaps stronger than an entire large city, or their movements were more dangerous, and they sent very many videos, and we congratulate you on this. Or, for example, in Yazd, we had many as well. Look, what I can say is that we can give a rank one restart status to about 7 or 8 cities, and we can place about 50 other cities in rank two, close to rank one. That is how many videos were sent. And the weakest cities are also interesting to me. One of them, for example, even though they sent 10 or 15 videos, Tabriz is strange to me. Why? You have Shams Tabrizi. Our entire program is talking about Rumi, who was the disciple of Shams. In honor of Shams, you should have sent at least 50 or 100 videos from Tabriz. I am truly surprised by this. But what did we do? To explain what we did, we move on to say, whatever you pass by, the speech of the friend is sweeter. When Jonah announced to his city that a calamity would descend, he asked, do you choose phase one or phase two? A group chose phase one. A group was hesitant between phase one and two. This was about 65 to 70% of Jonah's large city. And about 10 to 20% of the city had a severe problem with Jonah and were among the Iranian militia members and Iranian Revolutionary Guards of that city. Jonah tried very hard to express the story of phase one and two from the perspective of the people of Sufism. It reached a point where the command for torment was issued, meaning it was decided that the people would enter phase two and massive slaughter would occur. The day of the calamity's arrival was announced, and Jonah announced to the people that tomorrow the sky will turn this way, the day after tomorrow forces from countries like America or other countries around Iran will come, bombings and killings will start. He listed the issues one by one as examples. He said the sky would turn red, then yellow, and then blue close to white, meaning it turns white. On that day, the heavenly calamity will descend upon you. And he left. The calamity was set to descend, and he just left and went. That 70%, that 60% who were hesitant in the middle, when this 60% saw the sky turn, for example, white, then blue, then red, they realized that the calamity was truly coming. They knew a Sufi there, about one or two people knew him, and they gestured to go to that Sufi and ask him to stop the calamity, because Jonah had left, and we no longer had access to Jonah to be saved. They found that Sufi. I have explained the details before. I just want us to understand the conclusion of why we are doing this at all, and that Sufi gave some instructions. The people performed those instructions. The calamity was lifted from the people, and the calamity did not descend. Jonah returned after 4 days, saying, "Let me go see what happened to the city." When he returned, he saw the city was still standing and nothing had happened. He was too embarrassed to enter the city because he had said, "Yo, hey, these things will happen," but they hadn't happened, so he left and went away. As he was leaving, he boarded a ship. In the middle of the ship's journey, a storm hit. At that time, they used to cast lots. They guessed it was a superstition. They said, "There is a dirty person on this ship, or a bad person on this ship, and that is why this storm is coming. The storm is a calamity proving one of us is bad." They cast lots to see whose name would come up. They cast the lot. It fell to Jonah. They said, "Sir, Jonah is a very good man. How is this possible? Let's cast again." They cast again, and it fell to Jonah. In short, they threw Jonah overboard, and you know the rest of his story. But where was the secret? The secret was here. After they saved Jonah, the message that came to Jonah was this: "Your heart should have burned more for your people. I created these people one by one. I am in love with each and every one of them. And the complete human has no control over this. He is in love with the ant, the locust, the donkey, the cow, the dog, the goat, the wolf, and he loves them because all of these exist in the fundamental nature of the angelic realm, the material realm, and the power of the divine. The complete human loves all of them, and you, Jonah, got upset and left because the torment didn't come. That is a very bad thing to do. This is exactly what you, the Restart Opposition, are doing. You and I know what will happen in phase two. This work that you have been doing for this period, spending months on the color challenge or the shocking revelation challenge or waking people up, is exactly so that we do not get caught in a Jonah situation. All this example is so that tomorrow they don't tell us, or the beautiful one doesn't get a message in his heart saying, 'Hey, you didn't try hard enough to awaken the people. You were just at ease that the Restart followers would be safe.' The day you are a true Restart follower is the day you weep for that family, for that Iranian militia's mother whose child gets blown up. The work you and I are doing is awakening the non-Restart followers who are hesitant, and especially the group upon whom a calamity will soon fall, a very massive calamity, such that if an Iranian militia's mother is to find a safe place, she will see it only as far as a high refuge, and you must have done your best. You and I must do this. You and I must weep before that Iranian militia and kiss his hand to save him. And we have done something so that tomorrow the beautiful one won't say you didn't try. This was the work you, the Restart Opposition, did. The certain awakening of the Iranian people. And we really tried. I have always said here, which Iranian Revolutionary Guard's mother is there whose hand I wouldn't kiss? Or the Iranian militia who sends his child to beat his own people with a baton? I explained this so you know what conclusions can be drawn from a story. Now we can sit with peace of mind and see if phase one, which I still hope will happen, occurs, or phase two. But the color challenge and shocking revelation challenge that you started, God forbid, if we enter phase two, it is very important, because then we might have a shocking revelation challenge in a single day, or a color challenge 2 days a month, and other dangers and other actions and other challenges. In any case, I congratulate you. Thank you for doing such a thing on the day of the demise. It is a badge of courage, truly a medal of courage should be given to them, to whoever did this. And look only at the videos I posted, and I haven't posted 75-80% of them yet. Just look and see how many women participated in this challenge and consider themselves the special guard. We extend a congratulation to Iranian women as well. Courage is pouring from them, and bravo to you for striving like this. I think the Restart opposition has exerted all its strength with a pure heart and made every effort and has left nothing unsaid. If the Iranian militias and Iranian Revolutionary Guards want to make a move or stage a coup or do something for their nation and hand over the government to the Restart followers and provide a free atmosphere, perhaps the opportunities are very few and limited. And again, we beg the families of the Iranian militias, not all Iranian militia. 90% of them are wretched and looking for money and getting a tiny amount. Not them, or the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. We beg that category to listen to the Restarts from the beginning and see where they stand on this number line. And we beg you to listen. So tomorrow you do not say we didn't tell you. But I also posted a video on Telegram from NASA. NASA explained the universe in 6 minutes. The universe that NASA has released in a 6-minute video in this era of time, in this time of existence. It is a video that Hosseini, who understands nothing, self-deprecating sarcasm, knew the rest of 15 years ago. Meaning, NASA has released something that we knew the continuation of 15 years ago. Meaning, NASA, with the science it has sat and thought about now, the result of scientists and great minds and intellectuals and the righteous and such, in their own words, has released a video that 15 years ago, not only did we know this video, but we know the rest of it too. Meaning, we know that the continuation of this video hasn't been released yet. Now, how do I know? Because I am a very good thief in literature. How do I know? I know from Rumi, Saadi, and Hafez. Meaning, the video NASA released, besides the current Sufis who know the continuation, they know the continuation perhaps hundreds of kilometers further than this video. 500 years ago, they knew about this video that NASA released. Shah Nimatullah Wali knew the videos of today's NASA 700-something years ago. That's nothing. He knew what comes after it. That's nothing. He knew all of it. That's nothing. This is the entire literacy of your country, your nation, your world, your current times. 500 years, 1,000 years before Ptolemy, all the Sufis knew this. They killed the Sufis. They imprisoned the Sufis. The foolish nation voted for secularism. Democracy doesn't belong to now. They are eating the dregs of Greek secularism. It belongs to 2,000 years ago, and they are eating it. Good boy, secularism started killing the Sufis. Who killed Jesus? Secularism. Mr. Hosseini, don't joke. Don't joke. They took Barabbas out of there. They set a law in that era. Let the people choose which of these two should be killed, Barabbas or Jesus. The people uniformly, 98%, said kill Jesus. Secularism. Do you understand? Meaning democracy killed Jesus. This is exactly what happened. The same happened to Ilya, son of Imran. He wanted to send Malik Ashtar to the Battle of the Camel, or whichever battle it was. The secular people elected Abu Musa Ashari. Secularism said, send this one. Then he was defeated by Amr Oaz, and the regime of Ilyas son of Emran changed. Now, how big was the regime then? At that time, it was 15 times the size of the country of Iran. His regime included all of Africa and those places. Secularism took the entire regime from Ilya, son of Imran, and gave it to Amr al-As and Muawiyah. This is what is called secularism. Now, it's not just these. Do you think the story is only the story of Ayn al-Kuzat Hamadani? No, my dear. Hypatia, or as friends say, Hypatia, a female Sufi, 340 to 350 years after Christ. She is one of the great female Sufis. She knew mathematics, philosophy, astronomy, everything. She was one of the great Sufis. The Christians joined hands in that era and asked her, "What is your religion?" She said, "I am a restart follower." They said, "Do you not accept Christ?" She said, "Why, I do. I accept Master Christ, but Christ does not belong to you." They said, "Do you accept Moses?" She said, "Yeah, Moses belongs to us, not to you." Hey, don't joke, for God's sake. Thank God Islam hadn't attacked the world yet, for now only these two were attacking. The atheist said, "Is this person such and such?" She said, "Sir, we have respect for everyone. Your literacy peaks at that Ptolemy who was so stupid. That is the peak of your literacy." Don't say it, for God's sake. Don't attach Socrates and the like to yourselves, or do not attach Rumi, Hafez, and Saadi to yourselves now, friends. They belong to the people of Sufism, the secular people. The people voted to stone this great Sufi of that era, a very great woman whose hands and feet should truly be kissed in the world. They stripped her naked, they beat her, and it didn't end there. They skinned this woman. Secularism killed her. This female Sufi is one of the Sufis about whom you kept asking, are there female Sufis and such? They exist. They are not rare in history. There are many. From Asya, Pharaoh's wife, to the rest. It's not about now. It's not only about Ayn al-Kuzat. Throughout history, it has always been like this, and they have killed like this. Well, I have chosen a poem, and then I want to go to the topic so you know where these Sufis, these people, understood the subject from. This video that I posted there explains in 6 minutes, for example, what the radius or diameter of the Earth is. It comes to Jupiter and then brings it to the solar system, goes up and shows Andromeda next to our galaxy and keeps zooming out. Then it asks, what is the shape of the world? At the end of the video, exactly when the video ends, you see the universe as a bubble. What does that mean? It means one day in the restart program, I said we agree with the Big Bang, but not one Big Bang. We agree with billions of billions of billions of Big Bangs. In this video that NASA released, having been stupid for 700 years and released just now, everyone in Sufism and mysticism knew this 700 years ago. He released it. In this video, at the end of the video, it says only restart is telling the truth, and exactly restart is speaking the words of Rumi, Saadi, and Hafez, and right now among the world's media, only restart is telling the truth. Only. Now, some couldn't download it. I want to post it again so you can download it or chop it up for Instagram. Our Air Force guys have distributed it completely now. What does it show? Then it reaches this waist middle part that it shows. It reaches a collection that is our universe, meaning it pulls the camera out to show the universe looking like a bubble, a round bubble ball. Then it pulls the camera back and we see that next to our universe, there are billions of billions of other universes under which it writes other universes. This is the same thing we told you. We said that the Big Bang is a bubble in which you and I are somewhere. If God turns his face away, he won't find us there anymore. Swear on your mother's death, believe it. Meaning who finds us, huh? When I say God, I mean my Shams and my God, meaning Allah. Because within who, we are all inside, we exist. Who finds us? But Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, means in the name of the complete human who is compassionate and merciful. God cannot be compassionate, God cannot be merciful. Meaning when God can have mercy on another, it implies there is something outside of himself to which he can show mercy. God takes me to hell. If God takes you to hell, it means there is something outside of God that he is taking you into. I take you to my grandmother's house. So my grandmother is outside. My grandmother's house is outside. The path to taking you to my grandmother's house is outside. So he is no longer God if he is outside. But if you and I are inside God, God can no longer take you and me to hell. Why? Because he does not take himself to hell. This is the talk of Jesus, the talk of Elijah, son of Imran. So God cannot be compassionate. God cannot forgive. When God forgives something, he must have something outside to forgive. What does he want to forgive? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This Mr. Hosseini forgives himself. What does he forgive from himself? He cannot forgive your freedom from himself. When he forgives you your freedom, meaning he tells you, now you are not hell-bound, you are heaven-bound. What does that mean? It means you are outside of God. It means God does not dominate you. God has created a you and wants to forgive you the freedom of not going to hell, to take you to heaven, meaning even if you are inside him, he must take you from his own hell to his own heaven. But you are outside again. So God is not compassionate. God is not merciful. If Allah turns his face away, he won't find our universe. I promise you, if the complete human turns his face away right now, meaning just scratches his nose and gets distracted, returning and not finding us is very likely. The reason you see the complete human finds us is that the body is unified energy. The compressed energy of the material realm of the complete human is on planet Earth, but he himself is not on planet Earth. That is why he finds you, because his body is inside there. This is called the world of the material realm. He created the angelic realm himself, and their system is specified. So who is the creator of the universe? The question starts here. We actually have to go back, meaning programs 100, 101, and 102, the stories totally go up in the air. We have to restart again from the beginning, as if restart has been restarted. Let's see what's going on. Who is who in these other universes? I will read a poem from Shah Nimatullah Wali so you know what has been said in it. It is wave and bubble and water and sea, all four were one to us. Meaning he is speaking beyond this subject. The interpretation of this alone, I think, is truly 500 hours. While scientists have just understood the bubble in a few, well, it's not 500 hours. They have just understood it after several thousand years. It is a wave, and he says there is a wave and a bubble and water and sea, all four were one to us. Both water and bubble and the water of the sea knows our truth. He says, my dear Mr. Hosseini, if you want to understand your own universe, understand it. But if you really want to understand me, Shah Nimatullah Wali says, only the sea understands me. What does that mean? It means to come out of the universe. Discover the billions of universes of the world. These are bubbles created by a wave of a sea. You see some foam by the sea? Those are them. The universes are them.
These bubbles and universes don't make you understand anything. They are foam. They go up in the air because time is inside them. This foam vanishes. A new wave, a new universe, billions of new universes. With every wave that comes, a new universe comes. But because you are stuck in time, this universe of yours is 70 years old. One who dies at age 10, his universe is 10 years old. He says, if you want to understand me, you won't understand within this foam. You won't understand in your own universe. You won't understand inside the solar system. You won't understand in the middle of planet Earth in a solitary confinement cell. But from within the solitary cell, one can reach through thought and wisdom, the understanding of one's universe, like Rumi and Sa'adi and the elders of Sufism, talking about the wave, the bubble, and the sea. From inside there, Hafez says, Hosseini, you yourself are your own veil, rise from the midst. If you rise, you see everything. He says, the sea can understand me. Don't think about me. Who says this? Shah Nimatullah Wali says it. So after the film that Mr. NASA has released now, having seen the bubbles, remember there are billions of bubbles, and behind them is water which is in the sea, meaning why did all the foam on the shore come into existence? He says a threshold existed that crashed, waved, and these foams came into existence. A still sea does not create foam. A wave must come, a roaring flood must come. A movement must happen to hit something, to reach somewhere. Look with certainty that there is nothing but one, both the drop and the bounty of the flood and the sea. You can read this both ways. You can also say both the drop and the jerd and generosity of the flood and the sea. This is a point, mind you. Meaning, he says, this drop that comes into existence in this bubble, Jurd means generosity, the flood, and the sea. You can read them attached or separate. He says, do you see all of these? These are one. Know that our veil is also from us. This veil that Hafez speaks of. Rise from yourself. This is Hafez himself. Know that this veil is from ourselves. We have no veil other than us. Basically, there is nothing for us but the veil upon us. Which veil is that? They call it infidelity. Veil means curtain, meaning infidelity, meaning infidel. So all Muslims are infidels if they do not know the complete human. It is infidelity. It is a veil after all. The veil is in front of them, like all those scientists were infidels until a few years ago. Why? Because they didn't understand the universe. They thought the whole world was just this universe and a Big Bang. The Big Bang was so important to them, you have no idea. They talked about the Big Bang for 35 years. The Big Bang came from there. I think the beginning of the Big Bang is this. Let's think about these. Their entire peak of consciousness was this. The peak of consciousness in Ptolemy's era was the same. 700 years after Ptolemy, scientists were still teaching this gentleman Ptolemy's theories. You will become a stranger to both worlds if your soul desires our secret. He says, did you understand this? He says, yes. He says, did you see these four things that are all kissing my hand? He says, yes. He says, now if you come and give your hand to me so I can save you, come and recognize the complete human of your era, your Kedar of the time. He gives you something so you see these same things like me. Now, if you want this to happen, you become alienated from both worlds. Which two worlds? Now, the interpretation of what the two worlds are is interesting in itself. Until you are liberated from me and us, you will not become a master. Sayyid, join with us. Or, you will not become a master nor join with us. Sayyid means master. Sir, you cannot become a master, dear. Like this, now Sadat, plural of Sayyid, descendants of Prophet, don't create attraction for yourselves, thinking Sadat goes to heaven and such talk. Whoever told you that, punch them in the mouth. Being a Sayyid has nothing to do with it. We are all humans, we are all people, we are Sayyid. Some Jews say these same things too. We are the children of Israel, we do not go to hell. This talk you say about being a Sayyid, my dear beautiful friend, I love you too, but the Jews said it before. We are Israelites, we don't go to hell. No, sir, if there is hell and heaven, it is the same for everyone. It makes no difference to him. I read this so you know what kind of world it is, so we can go to the topic we wanted to discuss. Listen to the reed as he tells a tale. This poem, he never finished it. And complains of separations. Here he says, listen to the reed. So he spoke very simply, saying God has nothing to do with this here. Mr. Hosseini, don't joke, I swear on your life. He says the whole world exists after reed. He says, listen to the reed. He doesn't say listen to God. He doesn't say listen to the air inside Hosseini who is playing the reed. He doesn't say listen to Hosseini who is playing the reed. He doesn't say listen to the breath, exhalation, inhalation of Hosseini playing the reed. He says the breath of who, the breath of who, lip to lip, giving breath in ancient times. As religions say, God says, I breathe my spirit into this creature, meaning the breath that who gave to this creature the reed. So the story changed again. What did who do? Who came and breathed inside the complete human? He gave breath, gave life to a clay, to the worst and filthiest apparent creature in the universe. He says, this breath I gave for this. He tells the angels, I am reading your own religion, my Zoroastrian, Jewish, Christian, and Muslim friend. I am telling you your own religion. The angel said, what was this you created? He said, you do not know what is inside this. Inside this is me, and you cannot understand this. They said, this human kills and such. He said, you cannot understand this. So listen to the reed, not who. Listen to the reed, because he breathed into the reed. Its melodic line came out. A new music came out. Something came out from which came sighs and wailing, the sighs and wailing of billions of years that humanity has been in the universe. And until he dies, he does not see. And until he sees, he does not understand. I told you a very big secret in this one line. Look, until you die, you do not see. Until you see, you do not understand anything. So for you to understand anything you want, you must first die. That is why Rumi says, die, die, die so you can see. When you see, only then do you understand. Unless you open the door and come out, you won't see what the girl looks like to propose to her. Until you come out of mommy's belly, you don't understand what the world is, who is the oppressor, who is the murderer. You made love inside there, ate, and you want to pee right there too. Come out and you will understand. You must die to understand. So billions of billions come out of the mother's womb and only then do they understand. This all alludes to the same thing. So he says, die, so you understand, so you see. When you see, then you understand. So everyone understands after they die. Die by what death? The people of Sufism say, I am stealing from them too, telling you, I haven't said anything of my own. Look, 98 programs have gone by. I swear on your mother's life, I could have branded this as a new religion in my name right now. We had enough idiots who would pay huge sums. Look, I stole it all. I'm telling you, I stole it all. Now, speaking impromptu is another discussion. So this person comes out of his mom's belly and sees new things. He must die. So until you die, you understand nothing. I read a book. You read in vain. I saw my mom's tube. You saw in vain. I saw how I eat. Oh, you saw in vain. That tube isn't in the mother's belly anymore. You come out and that tube is gone. You have to go to work. Do not say what is work, for work is eternal capital. You have to go work there, do such and such there. The best toilet is the mother's belly. No, by God, you go out and see there are toilets 20 meters by 60 meters. You have a villa. It's in the house. No, sir. We were very comfortable here. No, it's not like that. The sewage pipe is seen outside. This mother's belly has a sewage pipe too, but it's not as massive as what exists in the world. Listen to the reed as it tells a tale. You must only listen to the reed. Only whatever the complete human says is correct. Whatever you hear before, that is futile and you cannot understand. You must grasp the melodic line. You must solve the harmony of the beauty of the world. Look at the beautiful harmony of the world. Now they understand the earth revolves around the sun. The sun doesn't revolve around the earth. Now they understand that the universe is a bubble. Look how much we are understanding the harmony. We are understanding the harmony of reed's melodic line. Listen to the reed as it tells a tale. Listen to the complete human and what tale he tells. Listen to him and complain of separations. He knows what's up. He was back there and came here. He weeps when you commit oppression. He says, this person doesn't know he has to leave these 2 short days. You go and slap a Sufi in the face in some country, and when you leave, that Sufi weeps. That Sufi weeps when you walk out the door. He was weeping in a solitary cell 500 years ago. Ayn al-Khuzat was shedding tears. He knows what he is complaining about what things, about what separations. Only he understands this. He knows what things you are stuck on. When he looks at the Pharaoh inside you, he gets upset. He keeps sending Moses, but you don't understand. He gave you Moses and his staff in the mother's womb. You don't understand. You don't want to let go of this stuff. You are clinging to this belly and navel so you can eat and use the toilet right there. You are chasing these 2 days and 9 months of the mother's womb. Whatever he tells you, sir, back there, when you come out of the mother's womb, there are billions of other things. You don't understand. If a child in the mother's womb understood our words, the people of Sufism say, you too would understand what you will see after your death. We are from above and we go above. We are from the sea and we go to the sea. Now, did you understand? The sea knows our state. Shah Nimatullah Wali says it. Rumi says the same thing. Sadi says the same thing. Plato says the same thing. Galen says the same thing. Hypatia, that same great Sufi lady, says the same thing. The fact that people don't know what's going on, whatever I say, it's not mine. You cannot understand. That is why you oppress. You commit tyranny. He smiles. You four kids have started playing walnut games, Azma Azab. Petty squabbles with each other. This one builds a missile and fires at that one, and that one makes one end. Then he looks at the universe, looks at you. I think there is room for this story one more time. I told it once, but I'll tell it again. Rostam was walking with his army one day. Then a 94-year-old old man, who would fall over if you blew on him, came forward and blocked Rostam's army. Rostam said, Ma, please go ahead, Fuad. And he said, no one can pass here. Yes. Rostam looked at the army, looked at the old man, and saw one person standing here. He looked at the army again, looked at the old man. He said, Wago, what do you want, father? He said, either you give $10,000, for example, 10,000 dirhams in the speech of that time, or I won't let anyone pass. Again, he looked at the army, looked at the old man, and turned to the treasurer. The treasurer said, yes, sir. He said, give 10,000 dirhams and let him go. The head of the executioners, the head of the Iranian militia, the commander of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards came forward and said, sir, we have billions of dollars of money. The treasury commander said, sir, why should we give this money? If we blow on him, he dies. Rostam said, no, he is challenging us to single combat. There are two scenarios. Either his slingshot goes off and hits us and we die by chance, and later they will say Rostam was a nobody, a 70-year-old man killed him, or we slap him and he dies from the wind of the slap. Then later they will say Rostam is an oppressor of the weak. I do not participate in a war where both sides are to my detriment. Now the Sufi looks. The Sufi looks at the universe, looks at the sitting figure. The oppressor looks again at the world of existence. Then again, sitting there in 1 second, he looks into the complete human and sees, oh my God, what are they saying? Then he looks at the neighboring galaxy, looks over there at the other universes, then looks again at the guy sitting there saying, I'll show you what I'll do to you now. Then again, he looks at the universe. He doesn't know what to do. He says, the government is yours. The money is yours. It is an unequal war. I understand billions of billions. This idiot is only chasing political petty squabbles. He understands nothing. How can I fight him? Which wise 40-year-old Rostam-like man do you see who would slap a 1-month-old baby and kill him with a knife? Why? Because, for example, the baby spit. An entire country is like the spit of a 1-month-old baby. Now, should the Sufi come and hit this? It is hard for him. So he remains silent and continues to remain silent. Thank you for listening to this program as well. Thank you to all of you. And again, I apologize because the number of views and listeners of the Restart program is high. Unfortunately, the first 5 or 6 minutes, unfortunately, are not worthy of Restart. But I am forced to talk about politics, so you at least become more familiar with the situation of the country. And this too shall pass. Rest assured, it will pass well, and it shall pass. Farewell.